You know, Casting Crowns has a song called Life Song. And some of you may be aware of it. It's one of those poppy Christian songs that gets stuck in your head. But what I like about it is it brings up this idea, this picture that what if my life were a song? And I don't know if you've ever thought about it from that point of view of if someone were to write a song based on your life, what would the lyrics say? What would the tone be? Would it be a joyful song? Would it be more of a funeral dirge? Would it be kind of a up and down, you know, as good times, bad times, you know, going back and forth? Would it be very calm, more of a lullaby? You know, all of us, I think, hopefully you get a long life song, and certainly there are various refrains along the way. As we go to Psalm 145, we're looking at a song, right? It's a psalm. David is writing the song of thanksgiving. And as I thought about how gratitude and thankfulness need to be such a foundational element to the Christian life, I had to draw the conclusion that if someone were to write my life song, how much of it would be about gratitude? How thankful would I be? And so that's kind of what I want to spend just a few short minutes in Psalm 145, more of a meditation than a message this morning as we enter into our time of communion together. So open up with me to Psalm 145, and we're going to look at this song of thanksgiving. And as has been my habit of late, I don't know why, but every message I make some kind of an acronym. And so song is right there. I figured, hey, we'll do these four letters of the word song. And I don't know if this is going to be a problem because Psalm 145 is actually an acrostic. So I don't know what happens when you cross an acrostic with an acronym. So just hold on. We may see some sparks or something. You're not supposed to cross those things, I guess. But as we're just looking at the first 13 verses, and the first three of them is where we get our letter S. And of course, if we're going to use the word song, then our first letter is sing, right? We need to sing his praises. Look with me in verse 1 of Psalm 45 as we learn to sing his praises in our song of thanksgiving. David says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Speaking of songs that get stuck in your head, have you ever had one get stuck in your head, right? That's a question that all of us probably say yes to. When you think about the kinds of songs that get stuck in your head, if you have small children, you know that it has nothing to do with the quality of the song. It has more to do with the repetition of it. I know lately for us, we took a trip to a family wedding last weekend. That's where we were. And I brought home a cold, so my voice is this way. And it was a lot of VeggieTales. So I wake up in the middle of the night singing VeggieTales songs. They're stuck in my head because I've spent a lot of time there. I don't know what songs get stuck in your head. It's only been Christmas season a few days, and I woke up last night with Mary, Did You Know? You know, in the middle of 3 a.m. thinking, where? I can't seem to get rid of this one. What is stuck in David's head as he writes the song? Look at it again. He says, forever and ever I will bless your name. Every day I will bless you. God's greatness is stuck in David's head. He can't get it out. And his life song, as you read through all of the Psalms, you see that repetition that God or David has God's greatness in mind so much that he has to sing it. He has to tell people, he has to write these songs. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. When I think about my life song, I have to confess that so many of the verses would probably be extolling my own greatness and talking about the things I've done. And I know that I probably need to spend more time meditating on God's greatness so that I can wake up in the middle of the night and not hear, Mary, did you know, but instead think about how great God is. Because as I spend time on God's greatness, I can't help but be thankful. I can't help but take that next step and say, wow, God, how awesome it is that such a great God as you would condescend to know me and have a relationship with me. And so David has God's greatness stuck in his head. And I think that's why our song of thanksgiving needs to start with singing his praises. And today, hopefully, there's an opportunity. We've certainly sung his praises, but even in our communion time, that you'll have an opportunity to sing his praises with those around you. The second letter in our word song is O, and we get that in verse 4, that one generation is to sing his praises to another, one generation to the next. Look with me in verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on the wondrous works I will meditate. One generation shall commend your works to another. Do you have anything that you say now because your parents said it? We got all the kids in the room now, so they probably don't even realize it, but I'm going to pull the curtain back, that there's a chance that your mom or dad says something to you because their mom or dad said it to them, right? Even the things that we say, I'm never going to say that to my kids, and then in the heat of the moment, we hear ourselves screaming it. Why did I say that? Well, it's because you grew up hearing your parents say it. That's the power of one generation to the next. Maybe you've heard the story of the little girl as her mother is preparing dinner. She's showing, the mother's showing the daughter how to make pot roast. And so she gets the pot roast out and gets all the stuff. And she said, now we cut the ends off. And the daughter says, why do you cut the ends off? And the mom's thinking. And of course, you know, our answer usually is just because you do. That's how you do it. And she sat and thought and realized she didn't really know. She just said, well, that's just how my mom did it. And so they called grandma up. And grandma starts laughing. And she said, well, I just did that because our pot was too small. I could never fit the pot roast in the pot. And so this action was passed down from one generation to the next because the kids observe, right? Our kids watch. But not just our kids. Our neighbors watch. Our coworkers watch. When we talk about the next generation, it's the community around us, the people that see us and want to see if our actions are going to back up our deeds. If we claim that God is who God is to us, then should we not speak of his works in our lives? This past week, I was sharing a story with my kids as a part of their home education. We're going through a book on some of the early church fathers, and we looked at a mother-son group of Monica and St. Augustine. And maybe you've heard of St. Augustine, but maybe you haven't heard of his mother, Monica. And it's said that he grew up hearing the word of God from his mother. As he sat on her lap, she would repeat the words of God to him all the time. And in fact, as you read the stories, it seems like she doesn't say anything that isn't a quote from Scripture. Well, St. Augustine was shown to have a mind for scholarship, and so his dad, who's not a believer, said, I don't want to waste this mind. We're going to send him off to study. And so he went off and he learned many things, but along his learning, it caused him to separate from God. And so he spent much of his early life running from God. The thing that drew him back, though, was the consistent message and prayers from his mother, Monica. Monica never gave up. She continued to pray for her son, Augustine. And then one day, God brought about this crisis of faith in his life, and he remembered the words of his mother. And he was brought to faith in God, and he, if you know his story, went on to fight for the faith and Scripture in an age when there were many heretical teachings attacking from within and seeking to split this early young church apart. He was the one that stood up and said, no, we're gonna follow Scripture, all because one generation passed on the truth of Scripture to another. Look at, as we read this again, verses 4 through 7 has many different action words connected with something about God. And I just want to look at those and think about your verbiage towards those around you, towards your kids, towards your neighbors, towards your friends. Pick something out and think, you know, I need to communicate this aspect of God to those around me. Look back to verse 4 again. One generation shall commend. So we commend your works to another. Think about what it means to commend, to give God praise. We did that today. We commended God for what he's doing in our lives and shall declare your mighty acts. This is a declaration. This is what God is doing in my life. Verse 5 says, on the glorious splendor, this is the thing that he will meditate. On your wondrous works, I will meditate. The splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. To sit and think about just his splendor and his works, what God has done in my life. I get so busy, especially going into this time of year. We have to rush from this to this to this. Let's just stop as a family and sit and think. What are the wondrous things that God has done? Then in verse 6, they, speaking of that other generation because of the first, shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame, or make famous your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. I love having kids in during the worship time, because I love hearing young kids start to learn how to worship, and they see you as adults worship, they see parents worship, and they start to pick it up, and they start to sing. And when we speak and declare, they will sing aloud of your righteousness. So one generation will speak to the next. The next word, next letter we see is N, and that stands for new. New mercies. New mercies every day. You see, I felt as I considered my song of Thanksgiving, I really think a forgiven person becomes a thankful person, because you sit and you think about the gospel of God. You think about the things that the mercy and the grace that God has given to me, and it's hard not to then have a response of thanksgiving. And that's what David does here. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. I want to take us quickly over to Lamentation chapter 3, and I have it on the slide for you, but if you would like to flip over, Lamentation, after Jeremiah, it might be a little difficult for you to find if you haven't spent much time there. It's generally not the most encouraging book to have your quiet time on. Lamentation is attributed to Jeremiah, and in particular, we're going to be looking at chapter 3. It's the most specific to a song that he wrote in the midst of the exile of Israel. It's the darkest time in Israel's history. And so a lamentation or a song of lament, this is not the only one. There are in the Psalms, there are several psalms of lament. It's finding the words of praise and thanksgiving even in sadness. It's being real and authentic with God. God does not want our thanksgiving, our praise to be painted on smiley faces. We bless God in the good and the bad. But look at what, even in the midst of Israel's darkest hour, look at what Jeremiah says in verse 22. He says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I don't have it on that slide, but if you opened up your Bibles, you will notice that verse 21 says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Where does his hope lie? In new mercies every day. That even as Jeremiah is sitting in the midst of this dark time and this difficulty, which was brought about as a consequence of Israel's sin, and he's mourning the sin as much as he's mourning the consequence, he realizes that even in the midst of this, I have hope. Because God's mercies are new every day. Well, why are they new every day? Because as followers of Christ, we wake up every day needing him. We wake up every day and are reminded, I'm still a broken person. I'm still a person that cannot do this day without God. And we are given this new mercy, this new opportunity to call upon him, this new opportunity to sing his praises. And so our song of thanksgiving can be rooted in the fact that every day we wake up and we find out that his gospel is still true. His grace is still evident in our lives, and we can spend time meditating on that, and we can spend time giving gratitude back to his gospel. Then our final word is G. Stands for both gratitude, of course, had to throw that in there, and glory. Because ultimately, our song of thanksgiving, our gratitude gives glory to God, because that's where David takes us in verse 10 through 13. All your works shall give thanks to you, or all your creation, O Lord. You remember when Jesus was walking in on the triumphal entrance on Palm Sunday, and all the people were giving praise to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders said, Jesus, Tell them to be quiet. What was Jesus' answer? If they don't sing praises, if they don't call out praise to God, the very rocks will cry out. Well, here David is saying the same thing. All your works, all your creation shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. We are given opportunity as a part of creation, but yet outside of it, as a special creation, one made in God's image, we have been given the opportunity and the ability to verbalize our gratitude to God. But at the same time, we look around at creation. For those of you like me that love to get out there and see God's work, we see it from eyes that are redeemed. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. When we cry out gratitude, when our life is a song of thanksgiving, we give glory to God. And it passes on this glory from one generation to the next. Nothing more glorious than seeing a child emulate the faith of the parent, but also one step further to make it their own faith. And that's what we hope to see here. That's discipleship, right? That's passing faith on from one person to the next, whether it's a parent to a child or a friend to another friend, or sometimes child to a parent, as I have seen many times. When a kid comes or a student comes and gives their life over to Christ, and the parents start to notice a change, saying, I want what my kid has. However it moves from one person to the next, we see the glory of God in that transition. We see glory take place when our life song is a song of thanksgiving. This past week, I have this little quick devotional I have on my dining room table. It's right next to where I drink my morning coffee. So I stumble out, and I can't do anything till I've gotten a little bit of that in me. And I just read this one little simple page, just kind of get my day going, get my brain going. And this one happened to be on Psalm 105, verse 1. And I loved this statement. I want to kind of wrap up and summarize this idea of us having our lives be a song of thanksgiving. And I love what the author says. He says, God's grace is deeply personal, but it is not private. Scripture tells us repeatedly that God desires a reputation among our families and among the nations. From the hordes passing through the Red Sea to the recipients of Jesus' miracles, the natural response to God's mercy has always been a deep desire to tell about it. The glimpse that the Bible gives us of gratitude is a spontaneous proclamation of His goodness. If we have no urge to tell, perhaps we have no deep awareness of His works. His goodness is too good to keep to ourselves. We're going to spend time in communion.